We live in a world that is politically unrestful. And as we go through the message today, I would like all of you to think about the utmost priority in your life and what your priority ought to be as believers in Jesus Christ. And so this call to worship tells us what that is. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and Pharisees, got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So if you don't remember anything else this morning, remember what your priority ought to be, which is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. And Lord, as we come together to worship you and to equip the saints for service, Lord, I pray that you help each one of us to look to you in every possible way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be starting Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look at the first seven verses. So let's read it. Romans 13, 1 through 7. "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers have no terror for those who do right, but those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servant, agents of wrath, to bring judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit the authorities, do not only because of possible punishment, but also for a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." I found a story today that sort of describes America. And I'm going to read it for you, and I think there's some things on it that'll be, you can follow along on the screen. Noah's Ark was an incredible story, but have you ever thought about what Noah's Ark would look like today if God asked Noah to build an ark in winter South Dakota? Here it is. "And the Lord spoke to Noah and said, 'In 1 year, I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all flesh is destroyed. But I want to save the righteous people and two of every kind of living thing on the earth. Therefore, I am commanding you to build an ark.' In a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for the ark. In fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. 'Remember,' said the Lord, 'you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year.' Exactly 1 year later, fierce storm clouds covered the earth, and all the seas of the earth went into a tumult. The Lord saw that Noah was sitting in the front yard weeping. 'Noah,' he shouted, 'where's the ark?' 'Lord, please forgive me,' cried Noah. 'I did my best, but there were big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction. and your plans did not meet the codes. You know where this is going. I had to hire an engineer firm and redraw the plans. I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a sprinkler system and approved flotation devices. Then my neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard. So I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. Then I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owl. And finally, I finally convinced the U.S. Forest Service that I really needed the wood to save the owls. However, Fish and Wildlife Service wouldn't let me catch any owls, so no owls. The carpenters formed a union and went on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations Board before anyone would pick up a hammer or saw. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, and an animal rights groups sued me. They objected to me taking only two of each kind aboard. Just when I got the suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I would not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They didn't take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. Then the Army Corps of Engineers demanded a map of the proposed new floodplain. I sent them a globe. Right now, I am trying to resolve a complaint filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that I am practicing discrimination by not taking godless, unbelieving people aboard. The IRS has seized my assets, claiming that I am building an ark in preparation to flee the country and not pay taxes. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. And finally, the ACLU, oh my goodness, oh yeah, the ACLU's got to get in there. And finally, the ACLU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying that since God is flooding the earth, it's a religious event and therefore unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish the ark for another 5 or 6 years. Noah waited. The sky began to clear, the sun began to shine, the seas began to calm. A rainbow arced across the sky. Noah looked hopeful. "You mean you aren't going to destroy the earth, Lord?" "No," he said sadly. "I don't have to. The government already has." Now, some of you might be saying, "Oh no, Pastor Bruce is going to get in trouble by saying something bad about the government." But I need to tell you that I heard this week on KWYR radio on Thursday. And I thought, oh, that's perfect for today's message. With that, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for what you tell us in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help each one of us to be attentive to your word today. Teach us your principle in obeying the government. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my commentaries was saying that this is the most controversial topics, sections in Scripture in our world today. I think that I kind of agree. I need to start out by saying that I am not anti-government. I need to start out that way. God's word tells us that we need to obey the government. I also need to say that there are a lot of Christians who feel like they can disobey the rules and the laws, even the simple ones, if they're not too serious or Sometimes they're inconvenient for our lives. I also want to say that in our world of unsettled government unrest, it's necessary for us to simply be ready to follow God versus the government. Now, if you were listening to all that, how did I just backpedal? Let's look at the text. And for your information, I normally preach out of the NASB, but today I'm switching over to the NIV. So all of the text I'll be reading will be out of the hymnal or the back of the chair Bibles. Romans 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And if you know Scripture at all, you know that this is true. God has established all of authority. Let's look at a couple of them. Romans 9:17 says, "For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." And we know that to be true. Pharaoh was ruler of Egypt at that time, and he was brought into the world for one reason. What was that one reason? So that God's name might be known among the earth. And then we have Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm not going to read the whole story to you, and most of you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the biggest and most influential rulers in all of the world back in that day. Listen to this, Daniel 4, 24 through 27. And Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, had seen a vision and he was scared to death. And here's the interpretation. Daniel says, "Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord the King. You will be driven away from people and will live from the with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is the sovereign over all kingdoms and earth and gives them to anyone who he wishes. The commandment to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules." Did you hear that? His kingdom is going to be restored when he acknowledges that that heaven rules, not Nebuchadnezzar. "Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice." Here is Daniel, and he's trying to give Nebuchadnezzar advice, the king. He says, "Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being king to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." And if you know anything about the story, you know that was just 12 months later that Nebuchadnezzar standing on his balcony and he looks out at all the earth, and it was majestic and it was great. And he says, "Look at everything that I have done." What happened? Immediately God put him into the wilderness and he became like a wild beast eating the grass. And it wasn't until 7 years later that he realized that, oh, God is in control. And everything that is here is for us to honor and glorify him. Now, here's the tricky part. Here's the tricky part. What happens if the government tells you to do something that you disagree with according to Scripture? Here's a question for you. I want you to think and consider this question. Are you today obeying the law? Are you obeying the law? And I'm glad no one's raising their hand. It's a rhetorical question. It's a question I want you to ponder. And if you say yes, my question would be, are you obeying every law? Even the ones that simply don't make sense to you. So my question is purposeful. If we cannot obey the simple laws, how are the ungodly supposed to look at our lives and say, there is a righteous person. There is a righteous person. We need to obey the laws. Now, if our government asks us to give up our weapons, which I believe could be right down the road, well, do you think we're going to have a fight on our hands? Say that louder. Absolutely. All you got to do is look at history, friends. Anytime the government says, give us your weapons, how many history buffs? Yeah, am I right? Give me your weapons, the government takes control, and that's the decline of the government. So what am I saying? I think it's interesting in chapter 12, Paul talks about loving and blessing those who persecute you. Don't be conceited, overcoming evil with good. And then we have the text for today, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, which is, seems sort of out of place. And then right afterwards, next week, we get to talk about love again. Let's read it. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, let no debt remain outstanding except that continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not love, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up with this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. But what's the most and foremost commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so those two are in conjunction with each other in all the Ten Commandments. If you just said those two commandments, you would kind of wrap them all up together. And then verse 11, which we'll probably talk about next week. I haven't decided yet. Listen to this. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. So, I don't know where you're at with this political scene, but I need you to understand one thing. Jesus Christ is going to come back very, very soon. Sooner now. I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. Jesus is coming back very, very soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for him? When I was preparing this, and even while I was reading this text, I was reminded that Jesus and God need to be honored above everything else in our life. We need to honor him in the way we act, in the way we obey laws, and in the way we respond to people, in everything that we do. So Romans 13, verses 1 and 2 again. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, listen to this, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who rebel and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I think the key word here is rebel. If you are rebelling against the authority, against the laws that are established, you are rebelling against God. Not the law. You're rebelling against God. That's a dangerous place to be in. Let's look at the next two verses. Verse 3 through 4. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Okay, how many times have you been driving down the interstate or on the country roads going somewhere, and up over the next hill comes a highway patrol? Huh? What does your heart do? And all of a sudden, your eyes go where? To the speedometer. Now, some of that is natural. Oh, there's a police officer coming up. How fast am I going? But sometimes we get nervous and tingly all over, and our heart stops because we have a tendency to what? Go too fast. I know that's true for some of you. Myself included. And so when you see a police officer, there's a certain amount of guilt in your heart, and your heart stops for a moment. Verses 3 and 4 are really saying, do what is right. Do what is right, and then you won't have to worry. But I love what Matthew 10 has to say. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So do what is right. Do what is right according to the law. But more importantly, make sure that your conscience is clear with God. Does that make sense? Hope so. Verses 5 through 7. Romans 13, 5 through 7. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities. Not only because of possible punishment. We know that to be true. We slow down because what? We don't want to... How much is a ticket nowadays? It's been a while for me. I have gotten speeding tickets, by the way. How much is a speeding ticket? 89? For how much over? 9? $89. It's not cheap, is it? I wasn't going to mention this, but I think I'm going to. In Minnesota, and all the states have a seatbelt law. Okay, in Minnesota, and this is new as of probably 10 years ago, if a police officer thinks that you are not wearing your seatbelt, they can pull you over. And if you're not wearing your seatbelt, it's like a $125 fine. And I thought, well, I got pulled over once for not wearing my seatbelt. I was coming into a town called Hutchinson, which was about 18 miles from us, and there was one of them roundabouts, and I went around and kept going straight, and all of a sudden there's a police officer that turned around and pulled me over. Now, I had my seatbelt on, but he came up to me and he said, because I looked at my speed, the first thing, and I was going the right speed. I'm like, why is he pulling me over? This police officer said, you weren't wearing your seatbelt. I said, what? I was wearing my seatbelt. And he said, you were not wearing your seatbelt. You just now put it on. I said, I was wearing my seatbelt. I'm arguing with the police officer. Because who would win in court? The police officer. He didn't agree with me. He disagreed with me, but he couldn't prove it. So he let me go. But in Minnesota, that's a big fine. It's a big deal. Out here, it's not a big deal. It is a $25 fine. So, therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. It's a matter of conscience, doing what is right. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are good servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone that you what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you pay owe revenue, pay that. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Paul, again, I need to remind us, is writing to the Jewish Christians that are in Rome. And he's saying that if you disobey the law and do not pay your taxes, how do we expect unbelievers to follow Christ? If we're not doing what is right, then how do we expect other people to come? We lead by example. We lead by loving other people. We lead others to know Christ by doing what is right, even in our government, even if it doesn't make sense. Remember a couple weeks ago we read Romans 12, 17 through 18. It says, do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We need to humble ourselves and live godly lives. So the hard question today, what happens if America asks us to do something that we know is ungodly and unrighteous? I'm just going to read for you a couple of scriptures in the text that we know for certain that God has called some people to go against the ruling authorities. I need to say here that it's usually because the government is crooked and unrighteous. Okay? That's usually the case. How many remember Esther? Esther did something that was not lawful to rescue her people, the Jewish people, from an ungodly Babylon. And Daniel disobeyed the law by praying. By praying. It's illegal to pray now in the schools. You probably know that. He got what? What happened to Daniel? Got thrown in the lion's den, ready to get gobbled up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down to the gods. What happened to them? They were going to have fried chicken for lunch. Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to defend us. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But if he does not, we want you to know, I'm hoping that all of you can say this, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. And then in the New Testament, the disciples, after Jesus had passed away, they're starting to share Jesus with everybody. Are the religious leaders happy with this? They're the ones that killed Jesus because he claimed to be God. Look at Acts 5, 29 through 32 in closing today. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to the highest, to his own right hand as Prince and Savior. He might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, whom we obey." We obey God first and foremost. We honor God first and foremost. I hope you understand that. I'm not against America, but we need to obey God first, and then we need to make sure that we're obeying the rules, the laws of the land, even if they don't make sense. Amen. Our benediction today is Matthew 28, a command from God to all of us. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let people know that you love them. Love by loving God. Amen.